In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Judging from the wild success of Donald Trump in the presidential race, illegal immigration continues to be the dominant issue in the elections. It's not surprising, because of all of the issues that federal, state, and local governments are supposed to be dealing with, there is no single issue that they have more completely screwed up than immigration. Supposedly compassionate Democrats want an open border, and by that I don't mean the average run-of-the-mill Democrat, I mean the Democrat Party. If you are a Democrat listening, and you believe in fair and legal immigration, then like it or not, your party has sold you out on this issue. If you're a Republican, likewise, your party has sold you out. And I'm not referring to Reagan's amnesty or George Bush or all the rest. The Republicans, ever since Reagan, have had plenty of time and opportunity to fix a broken system. We are being led by weak and spineless people. And let me give you a perfect example of that. We all know that there are plenty of immigration laws on the books, but do you know what the actual punishment is for crossing the border illegally? Brace yourself. According to Title 8, Section 1325 of the U.S. Code, for a first-time offender, the punishment is a fine or prison of not more than 6 months, or both. We all know they're not going to prison. So do you know what the actual fine is? A whopping $50. Now, for repeat offenders, that fine doubles, and again, in theory, the prison sentence also goes up to not more than 2 years. So if you're caught a second time, you would be fined $100. In fact, you would have to cross illegally and be caught 8 times before the fine exceeds $5,000. 8 times. Don't you think that maybe, just maybe, the punishment ought to be a tad more severe? And yet no Republican and no Democrat has ever fixed that. And it leads to crime and violence. In December of 2015, a ranch hand working in New Mexico's Boot Hill stumbled upon men and a couple of vehicles stranded in remote cattle country. He goes over to see if he can lend a hand. But it turns out they're drug runners from Mexico who take him hostage, load his vehicles with drugs, and then force him to help them get to Wilcox, Arizona, where they leave him alive but threaten his life if he goes to the police. On today's show, it's all about illegal immigration and border security. Coming up, we'll be talking with William Gein of Allipac, the nation's largest immigration super PAC, about their endorsement for president, something they have never done before, but the reasons why will probably shock you. But also shocking are the unprecedented steps the Obama administration is taking to undermine existing immigration laws and our security. Stay tuned for that. And I'd like to welcome now Karen Cowan. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. Karen, it's good to talk to you today.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for your interest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ranching is very big and on the eastern side of the mountains here in Oregon. So these kinds of stories that we're hearing about, they always impact us and certainly a lot of our listeners as well. And what led us to you was that story I mentioned in my opener where that ranch hand had been kidnapped by Mexican drug runners. And, you know, this really just seemed to take an already dangerous situation with the border and make it seem even more dangerous, if that's possible. What can you tell our audience about that incident?
It happened in December, and really the news media didn't pick it up until we, you know, got to work on this meeting. But it's really what triggered the meeting that they were having in Animas, New Mexico, to try to call attention to our political elected officials to see if we can't do something. But the man was out on a ranch working on a well and saw two trucks out off in a pasture, and he went over to see if they needed help. And they basically commandeered him and his truck. They threw his tools out, loaded his truck full of dope, and made him drive them to Wilcox, Arizona. This all happened in the daylight hours, but they didn't want to move until after dark. So his employers, when he didn't come in at dark, his employers started looking for him and looked all night. Around midnight, I think, or maybe a little bit before, they called in the authorities. And he finally called the next morning from Wilcox. The drug runners dumped him out in Wilcox, threatened his life and his family's life if he called the police or did anything. and took off. Well, of course, he called the police. They were able to catch him. The truck has been semi-returned, and he's okay. But, I mean, you know, he's terrified now
sure.
and for his family. And you kind of worry in having a meeting of this magnitude, worry about what safety is going to be in the future. But I think that by bringing this to light and having folks like you all over the country paying attention, hopefully we can get the attention of the federal authorities. And get something done about this.
That would be nice. I don't hold out a lot of hope for that, unfortunately. But just real quickly, tell our audience about the meeting that you guys are having down there.
We're calling it a call home to the border. We have seven, and it's the first of these meetings that we've had of this kind in at least 20 years. But the meeting is set up where local people will have an opportunity to speak to their elected officials and to their friends and neighbors. Actually, from it looks like three or four states. And at the end, we're going to come up with, we have a list of solutions, and we're going to ask our political elected officials to go do something about it and hopefully garner enough media attention. And this week we have had tremendous media response.
Great.
To bring this back to the forefront.
Well, in terms of the solutions that you guys are proposing, can you give us a rundown of some of those?
What people here want are boots on the ground. And the way that the border is being patrolled at this juncture, border patrolmen are 20 miles to 30 miles and sometimes even further from the border. And they've cast what they've told me is a net. And they try to catch people when they reach that point and stop them from getting to Interstate 10. And that basically leaves those people that live between the border and whatever their 20 or 30 mile net is at risk
yeah.
of anybody that comes
yeah.
across.
Absolutely.
So we're asking for boots on the ground. We've been told over time that we can't bring federal troops to the border because of the posse comitatus. I can't. It's a federal law that says that we can't have troops on the border. But when you go back and look at that law, it an act of Congress, which isn't simple to get, we understand, but Congress can change that.
Yeah.
It's been pointed out to us as we've kind of worked this week with different media outlets. We have 20,000 troops protecting the Korean border, but we can't use them to protect our own border. So that's one of the things that we're asking for. There's a 60-foot federal easement for Border Patrol and border safety activities that's supposed to run all along the border. We're going to ask that be enforced. Because there are some private landowners and tribes and other folks who don't want the Border Patrol patrolling on their land. And you come up with a private property rights quandary because on one hand, you know, you should be able to do, it's our belief, you should be able to do what you want with your private property. But at some point when you're impacting your neighbors, you know, then you've got to kind of look at the better good.
Sure.
And so that's going to create some interesting discussion, I'm sure.
You know, it's just really shocking when you think about it that you guys basically have to beg the government to enforce its own laws. And unfortunately, we are up against the clock here. So let's go ahead and take a break right there. We will come back on that with Karen Cowan. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, talking today about illegal immigration and border security. And this is something that's always in the news, especially of late with the presidential races, but most recently because a ranch hand was kidnapped down in New Mexico. And once again, politicians are letting our citizens down. And we were talking with Karen Cowan. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association about the dangers down there. And you know, going into the break, we were talking about how awful it is, really, that you essentially have to beg the government to enforce its own laws in order to protect you guys.
Yes, and we've been begging them for 20 years. And, you know, we've just got to have some relief if people are going to continue to live.
Hmm.
But you mentioned immigration. I guess we see this as almost a separate issue from immigration. We need to have a secure border, and then we can develop an immigration policy. Is the stance that we take on this, that you, how can you have an immigration policy when you don't have a
That's right.
secure border?
Yeah, it's kind of a moot point otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that you guys have been dealing with this for 20-some years, and there was an interesting article that we came across as we were getting prepared for the show, and it was an article about then-Governor Richardson, who was declaring a border emergency down in New Mexico, that there were four counties along the border that were devastated from crimes that included illegal aliens, drug smuggling, human smuggling, kidnapping, murder, destruction of property, and death of livestock. And by declaring a state of emergency, he was able to put over $1 million in to support extra border agents. And the Mexican government, acknowledged that there was a problem and said they'd all need to work on it. So here it is. That was an article from 2005, 11 years later. It's really astounding that nothing has changed. It's almost as if we're reading that article as though it was written yesterday.
Right. And honestly, it's worse. That was in 2005, and we were very pleased that Governor Richardson took that stand. But unfortunately, in 2010, a rancher on the Arizona side of the border was murdered by an illegal alien. Mm. And, you know, and they've still never caught anybody from that. And so that called a, you know, a whole new round of attention to the situation. But still, we're sitting here 6 years later from after Rob's death, and we're still begging, and the situation is doing nothing but getting worse.
Mm. You know, and that was, he was a Democrat. You guys now have a new governor, a Republican, Susana Martinez. I'm sure that when she got elected that she made a whole bunch of promises herself. But what actions has she taken, and does anyone trust those actions, and as to whether those actions will help or even happen?
Well, she's taken some actions, and quite honestly, I can't name them off the top of my head, but I don't want to downgrade her. But her focus has been in other places. We've spent a lot of time in New Mexico, and we just got a bill passed in our last legislature to fix the driver's license problem. In New Mexico, anybody could come get a driver's license with some proof of some address. And we found that illegals were using that to get it coming to New Mexico to get a driver's license and then go wherever they want in the United States. Mm. So that problem had been identified. That was when one of Susana's main missions, Governor Martinez, main missions, and that bill was finally passed in this last legislature, and she signed it into law this week. So hopefully we can move forward with that. We do have the attention of the New Mexico Homeland Security Department, as well as Arizona, both departments of agriculture. So, you know, by refocusing attention here, we hope that there will be some actions, and that we can have the governor support us when we put these solutions out and move forward.
The driver's license issue is one that we're going to be talking with our next guest, William Gein, about. He's from ALEPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, and that's something that we're wrestling with here in Oregon as well. The voters had overwhelmingly, I think it was like 60-some percent, had opposed this notion of giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. I'm curious, in terms of what you guys were seeing down there with that, were illegal immigrants then using those licenses to do other things like, say, register to vote?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm.
And we, the compromise that was reached in our legislature is that they will get a permit, but they can't use that permit to register to vote in a lot of those other things.
Hmm. Do you have an idea how many of them? How long was that law in place that they could get a license? How long was that in place for?
That law was actually passed, I believe, during Governor Richardson's tenure, which was from 2001 to 2008.
So how many of your elections then were impacted by people that should never have been voting in the first place?
Well, probably just a guess since 2005, so 10 years worth of elections.
Wow, that's shocking.
Yep.
I honestly can't believe that. Okay, we got about a minute and a half here with you. Getting back to that article where the ranch hand was kidnapped, is the whole kidnapping thing, is that on the rise now as well?
That's the first one that we've heard of in a while. However, break-ins are on the rise. One of our members has been broken into twice in the last month. We had another local resident who was going to town, forgot something, turned around and went back to the house and came into, house with her house being broken into by illegal aliens. She was able to get out of there without anything bad happening. But you know, that's the scary scenario. I mean, she's out there by herself in the middle of nowhere, quite literally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we just need these people stopped at the border.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll make that safer is for people to lose their Second Amendment rights, you know. All right, let's take a break. Everyone stay with us. Lots more with Karen Cowan. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. And coming up, we'll be talking about what life is like down on the border and whether a wall would work. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today about immigration and illegal immigration, and of course, border security along with that. And we're talking with Karen Cowan. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. Their website, nmagriculture.org, and of course, we'll link that up on iSpy Radio as well. And Karen, you know, we were talking about this article that led us to you, and it was this situation where a ranch hand was kidnapped by Mexican drug runners. And can you speak to us at all what your quality of life is like down there? It's really shocking to think this sort of thing is on the rise.
It's definitely changed. I grew up in Cochise County, north of the border, and it's a whole different world from when I grew up. Mm. I mean, you have families that stay armed most of the time. If anybody strange comes up, we're used to, you used to open the door and offer assistance. You can't do that anymore. One of our members, her 9-year-old, you know, she works on the ranch with them, and they have to have somebody keep an eye on her all the time. Hmm. And, you know, she has specific areas where she can ride and where she can't. It's you're just living in constant fear. And, you know, when somebody leaves the house in the morning, you know, you wonder whether they're coming back that afternoon or not.
Wow. Wow, that is just stunning. You know, here in Oregon, we are not a border state, but there is a definite real mental divide between rural areas, which want to ranch or cut timber and so on, versus the urban areas like Portland and Eugene, which tend to look with disdain on things like ranching and logging. And you know, leaving the Oregonian politics aside, what do people in your own state think about what you guys are going through? I mean, do you have a similar situation where the urban areas don't really support the rural areas or even really understand what you guys are going through?
Well, it's an understanding issue and not caring. I mean, you know, we all have busy lives. We've got way too many ways to communicate, and communication is constant, and you're worried about what's going on in your life and your world. You know, as this stuff has come to light this last week through the media, people are going, you know, that can't happen in the United States. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it can. You know, the idea that you would have to be armed to go out and do your job in the United States, if you're not a policeman, is one that most people just, I mean, they don't even believe you. Hmm. They just can't fathom that, you know, what's really going on down here.
Yeah. You know, it's sad, really, to think that people have to die sometimes to get the laws enforced. And yet that sounds a lot like what you guys are having to deal with down there. In terms of, you know, we're in the middle of a presidential election, and of course the kind of the big thing that's always dominating the headlines is Donald Trump. And he's got this message of building a law. Does that resonate with people down there in New Mexico?
Not necessarily, because thus far the people, and I want to stress, they're not all Mexicans that are coming across. There's
people
from all over the world that are infiltrating the border. But it seems like whatever method of a wall people come up with, you know, drug runners will drive up to some of the fences now with cutting torches and just cut a car-sized hole in the cutting torch. I've seen pictures where they've taken and built ramps where, you know, a vehicle can drive up the ramp, cross the wall, and drive down the ramp the other side. Everything that has been tried thus far has, you know, there's been a way around, and if they can't go over it, they'll tunnel under it. So it's boots on the ground that we need.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, is more boots on the ground. In fact, Erica Valdez, she's a rancher down there with 40,000 acres, said that the border is not secure, and it doesn't matter how tall of a wall you put up, they're going to tunnel under it or go through it, like you said, with a torch. In terms of putting more boots on the ground, give us an idea of what kind of percentage increase are you talking about. Are you talking about like doubling the number of boots on the ground or 50%? What are you thinking?
We're thinking that you need to bring the army down here and put them not maybe shoulder to shoulder, but arm to arm. Mm. and, you know, and shut this border down. And honestly, I couldn't give you what that a number would be, but we're talking from California to Texas.
And it doesn't sound like you're adding one or two agents, that's for sure. Karen,
right.
It's so sad to hear what you guys are going through down there, and all because politicians just aren't willing to do their job. And I do hope that something comes of that meeting that you guys are having there, and maybe finally they'll start waking up.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity.
And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talk today to William Dean. He's the president of ALIPAC. That's A-L-I-P-A-C. ALIPAC stands for Americans for Legal Immigration. And William Dean is the president and spokesman for that group. William, it is great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me back.
Whether you're talking legal or illegal immigration, it's very much back in the news again. There's been a lot of news articles on these. Of course, we'll link those up on iSpyRadio.com. One of the more pressing ones, I think, is that just a few days ago, ISIS released a video warning that the U.S. was going to come under a Paris-like attack. And here we are back in the same old situation where we're allowing people in through our borders without any real screenings. And we have an increase of youth crossing the southern border that will break records in 2016 if the numbers stay up. And so when are we going to do something about this?
Well, the pressure is building, and a big reason that it's building is because of the Trump campaign's focus on this issue. That has really open the floodgates on the reports about both the Americans' public's dislike of both legal and illegal immigration levels. Now, I think a new poll shows about 83% even want legal immigration levels reduced. Mm. But at the same time, the Obama administration's going for broke. They've scrubbed terrorist watch lists of data. They've opened the borders. They've ordered agents to assist the illegals. They've told the illegals to find the agents to help them in. And so you have these two conflicting powers at work in the side of America right now. You have the American public that's trying to rise up to stop this, mostly through the campaigns of Trump and some through Cruz. But then you have the establishment that rules both the GOP and DNC establishment that has they're treasonous. And some people say they're failed their leadership in D.C. I believe they're treasonous. Leadership in D.C. is trying to hold on to power while this populist surge is coming up, trying to put control in someone else's hands, that at least between Trump and Cruz are promising us that they will enforce our border and immigration laws, deport illegal immigrants, and stop the terrorists from coming here. So these two forces are clashing, and we're now receiving, just over the last week, our first two reports of political violence that have come in against Trump supporters on this. So things are now rapidly spiraling from just a political process to something much more aggressive, slanderous, libelous, and stirring people up to violence against people who are supporting candidates.
You know, I can't honestly think of another time. You know, I know in the past there have been times when we have conceded and basically said, okay, fine, we'll give amnesty to the people that are here illegally. I can't ever remember a time when we have just so vastly thrown open our doors to immigrants. Both illegal and legal immigrants, and to hear that the Obama administration is actively undermining the efforts to enforce border laws, even with known terrorists, as you said, how is this not treasonous?
Well, it is treasonous, and those people have thrown our doors open. We haven't done this. I haven't done this. You haven't done this. Your listeners haven't done this. The American public has not thrown open the gates. The gates have been forced open by these people at the top, and now they're trying to dismantle the gates so that they can never be closed again. And so that's what makes this election so critical right now, and it's so important that we stop the establishment from regaining control of the process through either electing Hillary Clinton or pushing Cruz and Trump into a brokered GOP convention where the establishment will regain control.
Mm. Yeah, in terms of the mood of the country right now, because you've touched on this, there are, you know, just to give you some of the highlights of the current events here that I saw on Drudge Report this week, 61 million immigrants now in the U.S., with at least 16 million of them here illegally, and I would imagine that the number is probably twice that, meaning that one in five Americans right now are immigrants, first-generation immigrants. 61% of Americans see immigration as jeopardizing the U.S. 60% of Michigan voters that just had their primary are in favor of temporary ban on Muslims. And so you see all this from the voters' side. Why is it that so many of these in the political class and the establishment not seeing the handwriting on the wall here?
Well, because they're controlled by the large monetary interests that we now see aligning themselves against Trump. They've got a situation where the same power groups and money groups have controlled who gets to come to Washington, D.C. for Democrats or Republicans, or once they get there, they control people by finding out any dirt on them, or what we used to say in politics, a live boy or a dead girl on them, and they control them, because once you're a politician and everybody knows your name and you're in public office, they can destroy you with a wave of the wrist if they have the right information on you. So the power faction that's been in control of the United States for some time has a type of extra constitutional control that seems to continue its power regardless of what the party affiliation is of someone that occupies the White House. And obviously from what we've seen with Republicans, regardless of the party affiliation of who occupies Congress, this nation changing or destroying or rebuilding or whatever you want to call it, nation building agenda continues. The core things on the economy, immigration and warfare and economic policy continue, although the elites don't seem to mind, you know, giving the public some latitude on who you marry and where you live and that sort of thing. So we have a situation where, you know, they've got, and anybody that would challenge that, truly challenge that status quo, will face billions of dollars of hostile treatment, including being labeled a racist and Nazi and KKK and all the other red herrings that they throw as control symbols on anybody that would stop this open borders globalist agenda, socialist and globalist agenda that's at work here.
You know, our last guest, Karen Cowan with the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association, said that this has been going on for 20 years for them, trying to fight the border security and fighting against the flood of immigrants, but you know, now with the drugs and all that coming up across there. And nobody's listening. People are dying down there because nobody's listening. What do you think it would take for the establishment to finally realize, okay, maybe this is not such a great idea after all to throw open our borders like this?
Well, the establishment, they're not going to make that decision. The establishment will never suddenly turn around on this invasion and say, oh, gosh, we've been supporting an illegal immigrant invasion and overthrow of the country. I think I will stop now. They won't stop until someone stops them. And that's what has to happen in the elections, and that's what we do at Alipac. We're trying to get people to pay attention. You know, almost every Democrat in Washington, D.C. right now supports open borders and this illegal immigrant overthrow. And of the Republicans that are up there, while a band of about a third to 40% of them were able to stop the amnesty bill from passing, most of your listeners and most of people out there don't know which Republicans those were. So we have them endorsed at Alipac.us to tell people which ones have been fighting against it. And then we've got a thing called the Cantor List, which anybody can Google, or Yahoo Cantor List, which shows the 178 Republicans that share the same fundamental amnesty position as Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on immigration.
Yep, right there. That's the establishment right there. Great list that you guys have up there.
But what they're going to do is they're going to spend $1 million on their campaigns telling everybody that's not true and people will buy it.
That's right, unfortunately. Okay, lots more to talk about with William Gein. He is the president and spokesman for Alipac. Stay with us. We'll be talking about their endorsement for president. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, helping you keep an eye on big government. And today we're talking all about immigration. And right now we're discussing that with William Gein. He is the president and spokesman of Alipac. That's A-L-I-P-A-C. Their website is alipac.us. And, of course, we'll link that up on ispyradio.com as well. And, you know, going into the break, we're talking about these elites that are not getting this and all of these Republicans that simply don't get this as well. And we had a case here in Oregon where the legislature, controlled by the Democrats, had passed this law to give illegal immigrants a driver's license, and it was the voters themselves that defeated this through a referendum. Over 60% of Oregon voters decided to vote that down. And we just got off the phone with Karen Cowan as well, and they had gone through a similar situation where the immigrants had the right to have a driver's license. They were then turning that into getting a voter's card, among other things. And of course, in California, we're seeing the same thing. Now they're looking at giving the right to vote to illegal immigrants. It just boggles my mind what is happening here with the people in power here in the U.S.
Well, I can make it very simple. The United States is under attack from within. Fifth column type elements that are working with foreign governments and big corporations that do not like people in the United States to respond to anything other than fear and greed, the movements of the market forces. Fear and greed is their method of control. If you are a constitutionalist or a Christian conservative or a person that makes decisions based off of beliefs or principles, they don't like you, and they don't like that, and they've never liked that for the 200 years that the United States has existed. Mm-hmm. We have held at bay tyranny, fascist, communist, and monarchies, and pirates, and everybody else that didn't like the way the United States did things. Now the United States is being destroyed from within, and the way to destroy the United States from which it can never get back up is by importing lots of people legally and illegally from around the globe that either are have antipathy towards us or just flat out hate us with a genocidal rage, and but most importantly, we'll receive welfare and other type of socialist state stuff so that their votes can be counted on. They can be like many millions of people in America. They only need to work once every 2 years to come out and push the big Democrat button. Mm. So they've done that, and now they're trying to get them in place to vote. And even without the actual I's being dotted and T's being crossed on legislative allowance of the illegal immigrants to vote, illegals are already voting in large numbers, we believe, in Oregon, Washington State, west of the Mississippi, California. In fact, we believe that Harry Reid won his race in 2010 because of the illegal alien vote out of the Las Vegas casinos and stuff. And we've got the emails and other types of leaked and documented information to prove that. So, but we've sent the reports to the Federal Elections Commission and to the Clark County Boards of Elections, and they don't do anything because it's all in the bag between the sellout Republicans and the socialist Democrats. The illegal immigrants are in charge in this country. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we endorse Donald Trump. We think that his full deportation plan may be the only way this country could survive at this point.
Hmm. Well, we'll get to the Donald Trump endorsement in just a little bit here. The Harry Reid emails that you just mentioned, are those available up on your website that people go check those out?
What's that, the documents online?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the archives. You just have to get in there and search around, and not, or anybody sends me an email, I can help you to access them. But, you know, the bottom line to it is when someone fills out a voter registration form, which is a standard form from the federal government, says, are you a U.S. citizen? And you check it, and you send it in, and the Board of Elections process it, and nobody ever checks to tell whether you are legal or not.
Yeah.
Even though it says it's a felony. It is a felony for an illegal immigrant to register to vote, and it is another felony for an illegal immigrant to actually press a button to vote, each punishable by up to 7 years each. So a maximum sentence of 14 years in prison over federal crimes for an illegal immigrant to vote, but nobody's charging them, so they can just do it. Nobody cares.
Well, it's the same thing as the unsecure border. I mean, it's supposedly illegal to come here across the lines like that, but it's the same thing that's not being enforced down there, and the federal laws on voting also not being enforced.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys recently had come out to endorse Donald Trump. This was the first time that ALIPAC had endorsed a presidential candidate like that. What criteria did you use to endorse Trump, and why him over Cruz?
Well, the first thing is that ALIPAC's never endorsed a presidential candidate before. We have always had trouble during GOP primaries with the contentiousness between last time it was Ron Paul and all this stuff going on. So we've just basically tried to tell people who we know is for amnesty and who we know is against amnesty. And we didn't, you know, ever endorse before, you know, for the last 11 years. Except this time we did for several reasons. First of all, we found out that although Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are talking about illegal immigration and deporting them, that instead of that having a positive effect on our organization, ALIPAC, and a positive effect on our effort to throw out the amnesty supporters out of Congress like we helped throw out Eric Cantor in 2014, it's having a toxic effect on the down ballot because, everybody's transfixed with the GOP presidential primary. They're not even paying attention to the down ballot. We've got a lot of people that are coming out for Trump and Cruz and say, I want to change Washington, D.C., and sitting there on the down ballot and voting for the person that has the highest name recognition, and that's the incumbent that has the largest amount of money to spend on advertising, and they're reelecting amnesty supporters that will go to Congress to fight against what Trump and Cruz say that they're doing.
Hmm.
Now, we did an internal poll of ALIPAC and found about 60% of our supporters are with Trump. This is back from 2 or 3 months ago, and about one-third of them were with Cruz. After our last funds drive came in $5,000 below the mark we needed to survive, I realized there was something wrong, and I went and endorsed Trump. And right after I endorsed Trump, I found out what it was. We had people telling us that they had not contributed to our campaign or our down-ballot candidates because they supported Cruz, and we had not endorsed Cruz. Mm-hmm. We've had people not contributing to ALIPAC or our candidates because they supported Trump, and we had not fully endorsed Trump. And then other people said that they were worried we were going to endorse Trump, or we were worried we were going to endorse Cruz. And this conundrum is killing my organization. The fact that you're talking to me on a phone that still works right now is a miracle, because of the very real toxic effect this fight between Cruz and Trump has had on the down-ballot races in groups like Alipac. So we threw the hammer down. We endorsed Donald Trump because Donald Trump, we can't tell people whether he's, you know, I don't know whether he's going to keep his promises or not, but I know if he changes, we'll be the first to attack him, and we'll be the first to attack him from within his own camp. The other thing is right now, and I'm going to put out an article about this on Sunday, and anybody that would like to join our email alerts by Sunday to get this, please do. There are two ways that the failed or treasonous, as you prefer, D.C. establishment can regain control of the race now. They can regain control by electing Hillary Clinton, which is going to happen if we don't end the fight between Cruz and Trump very soon. It's going to happen if some of the Cruz and Trump supporters don't stop going for each other's throats. It's going to happen if this race continues and they continue to spend billions of dollars trying to poison everybody against the front runner. Hillary Clinton is going to win. The other way that the D.C. establishment regains control is for Cruz and Rubio and Kasich to combine, strip off enough votes from the very clear GOP frontrunner that's filling stadiums with tens of thousands of people, to put it into a brokered convention where they will take control, and either Ted Cruz will have to cut a deal with him to do their bidding once again in D.C. to become president, or they'll get someone else besides Cruz or Trump to come out of that convention, in which case Hillary Clinton's probably going to win anyway. So basically there's two routes to D.C. establishment retaking control, and we feel that the only way to avoid that at this time, considering the magnitude of their power, the fact they control about every major news network, including Fox, the fact that they've got about every newspaper in the country on their side, the fact that they've got new super PACs rolling out, doing deep psychological experiments on how people feel on Facebook to try to stop Donald Trump, we feel that the best bet is to rally around Donald Trump and to put all of our cards in his basket in the hopes that he's going to be sincere about his promises and to join that movement and to strengthen his lead to the point that he settles this GOP primary and then goes straight up against Hillary Clinton. The other thing is, it's no longer just Trump the candidate. It's Trump the movement, and now it's becoming Trump the civil rights movement, because we've had at least two Trump supporters attacked or threatened with guns by Hispanic males and their signs destroyed, and the political violence. And the protesters that are coming into Trump events 10 or 15 times, they're trying to squelch the civil rights of Donald Trump and the tens of thousands of people there to hear him by disrupting these events. They're not there to make a message. They're there to attack these people's civil rights. Yeah. And as Americans, whether you support Kasich, Rubio, or Cruz, our civil rights are in danger now. It means that the next candidate you have, or if Cruz were to take the lead, his civil rights would be attacked. We have to support Trump now if we support civil rights for conservatives and Christians in America. Yeah. And sometimes, folks, there just comes a time where you just got to stand up, and you might not know where the best candidate is, or the person in the lead might not be your best candidate, but there comes a time where you've got to stand up and be counted, and you got to pick a side. And listen, the people who don't know me, please understand, I've put my whole life into fighting illegal immigration for you for 11 years. I'm the guy whose organization has had the core strategies that has stopped legislative amnesty from passing for
you.
Yeah,
well, and you guys famously took down Eric Cantor.
Cantor. I'm saying this from the perspective that the supporting Trump is what we believe is the best national strategy for America to survive at this time.
Yeah, we have... Okay, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Everyone stay with us. We'll have lots more with William Gein of Alipac. Wrapping things up, talking about Trump and Cruz, and how do we start uniting them. Stay with us. And welcome back. In our final segment now on I Spy, we talked today to William Gein about illegal immigration and border security. And most recently about his endorsement of Donald Trump over Ted Cruz. In fact, let's kind of start there. Why did you choose him over Cruz, and what was it about Cruz that you guys didn't like so much?
Well, Donald Trump clearly, you know, I feel the country owes him a big debt for knocking Jeb Bush out of the race. I think if he had not, I believe if he had not entered the race right now, we would be right in the situation the elites had and the establishment had planned for us, picking between a pro-amnesty Republican like Jeb and a pro-amnesty Democrat like Hillary. Donald Trump is the man who disrupted that, and we all owe him for saving us from that, because the people that had that lined up, they don't play around. They're very big and serious, and they've been running the country for decades. So we have that, the fact that he has put focus on the victims of illegal immigration, which is the number one thing that gets you banned from TV. You can't talk about those on TV, and Trump brought that out into the light. Also, he has had, like, the workers from Disney and the H-1B people who have been thrown out of their jobs and forced to train their own replacement. They're at the podiums with him. Ted Cruz has followed Trump's lead on immigration with his presidential campaign and changed his prior position. We were not comfortable with Cruz before to thank Cruz, we thank him for having fought unsuccessfully in the Senate against the amnesty bill that our people stopped in the House. But he did have a position that he didn't like that bill, but he did favor a path to legality for illegal immigrants, which we oppose.
Well, he's saying now that that was all a ruse. Do you not take him at that?
No, he's saying that that was just an amendment that he wanted to offer to try to poison pill the bill. But he said he supported this and several other types of interviews and things like that. So we know that he's lying about that. Hmm. And then also he supported quadrupling the current levels of H-1B visas, which are at historic highs. And he only changed that when he looked at his polling data on his presidential campaign and learned he couldn't go anywhere until he changed it. Now, when he changed his position on increasing legal immigration and on other stuff, he basically, you know, started to gain traction in the polls and rose to the number two spot after he changed his positions. But the biggest reason we couldn't go with Cruz is his wife, Heidi. Heidi Cruz has received millions of dollars in compensation from the Goldman Sachs and CFR, or Council on Foreign Relations Power Groups, which are at the core of the illegal alien invasion. Heidi's employers are the people that are making this invasion happen. They're the people that have crafted the documents that what they want to create, an open border society where everybody's security is supposedly protected by a surveillance state.
I saw that article. In fact, we'll make sure we put that up on iSpyRadio.com. You can definitely make an argument that Trump supporters will need Cruz supporters, but Cruz will definitely need Trump supporters. How do we ever start getting these two to work together again?
Well, I don't think that it's possible for the front runner Donald Trump to be dragged from his position and forced into collapse and still beat Hillary. I don't think it's possible to take our distant second place runner up and stick him into the first place position this close to the general election and still win. I think that what needs to happen here now is that a lot of Cruz supporters need to take whatever it is that they're upset about Donald Trump and think about Hillary Clinton, because if Hillary Clinton wins this thing, if they keep up the animosity, if Cruz continues to show strength and it goes to brokered convention or elects Hillary, remember this conversation. Remember hearing these words, because we really hope that you like your new angry illegal immigrant and Muslim neighbors that you'll have in the next 4 to 8 years under Hillary. At this time, it's time to make the decision to go after Hillary. The purpose of the primary is to find our strongest and to unify behind them, and it's very clear who our strongest candidate is. And anybody telling you out there that Donald Trump's got some ceiling at 40%, he just can't beat Hillary, is ridiculous. Everybody that said that Donald Trump can't do this and can't do that has been wrong, 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 wrong. And everybody that has seriously attacked Donald Trump, from Jeb Bush to Marco Rubio, has found their numbers dropping back to the Stone Age. It's time for us to pick our candidate, and it's clear that the people want Donald Trump and the GOP primary, and any attempt to disrupt that with Ted Cruz or a brokered convention is going to elect Hillary Clinton. And if you want to avoid that, we need people to go ahead and set their animosity aside and consolidate behind Trump now.
That's right, because defeating Hillary and the Democrats are certainly the main priority here. William Gein, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
How will we know when the border is secure? When politicians aren't afraid to walk the border without armed escort, or, dare we say, make their homes along the border. But they don't. And yet they are willing to allow armed criminals to stream across the border practically untouched. We don't know yet who will be the nominee, but so much of today's show tied into last week's show about remembering that whether you are a Cruz or Trump supporter, you're on the same team. Don't tell me it's your guy or no one, and that doing so is somehow principled. Is it principled to let these problems continue, or to have New Mexico ranchers sacrifice because your guy isn't the nominee? Two things are clear. First, either Trump or Cruz will do something about illegal immigration. And second, it will only get worse under a Bernie or Hillary administration. The choice in the primary is between Trump or Cruz. The choice in the general is between Republican and Democrat. Doing something or doing nothing. Don't sit on the sidelines. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.